Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Hitchcock. Thank you for joining us here on Wealth Protector TV. Very excited to have my colleague, Brent Honay, on with us. Hello, Brent. Welcome.
Paul, how's it going?
It's going great. And it's Halloween time. And so we are jumping into a very spooky topic here, which is trust planning gone awry. And I know that you're dealing with a lot of people and their trust is all screwed up. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah. So, Paul, I think this is timely just for a lot of reasons. But basically, you know, when you think of the whole trick or treat thing, I see people quite often where we're doing, we start off the relationship as a trust review. So I do a lot of trust reviews for clients, for people who just have old trusts or relatives of clients where they go, you know what, I got this thing I did when I was going on vacation 10 years ago. Can you look at it? Is kind of how that starts off.
Right.
And in many cases, there are things that people think are just fine. They had it done. They had it done at a very good place, you know, in the past, and no one's ever reviewed it. And so they want to take a look at it, you know, from a different set of eyeballs and see what's in that thing and is it working right. And so it's kind of a, you know, it's a spooky thing for some people because we find some bad stuff, you know,
Like what do you find in there?
You know, I've found things where when we get into the estate planning review, we get into funding and take a look at where are the various assets at, you know, that they have, that they think are in this trust. And we find out that they are not in the trust. And in fact, in some cases, I found things like 401k assets where the beneficiary is still set up to go to an ex-spouse somewhere, which generally doesn't go over very well, you know, with the client. When we talk about it, it's kind of a, are you kidding me? Can I change that? Like in the next 2 minutes, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
it's these kind of things that you find out and you want to find out and you want to, you know, bring it to the light of day while you can, because, you know, as you know, life, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. So if you don't do these things, very bad unintended consequences can happen.
Yeah. So, Brent, when you talk about funding a trust, what you're talking about there is just because you have a trust doesn't mean it's complete. You actually got to put stuff in it. Is that what you're referring to?
Exactly. So, you know, that part of the process is critical. And a lot of people, I think the mindset is when you do your estate plan, you know, many people put that off forever. For one thing, they don't want to do it. You know, you got to drag them in and go, let's get this thing done. It's protecting your family. Let's do this thing. And they sign on the dotted line, they get it done. And they go, honey, right, we did it. We're good now. We finished.
Yeah.
And not really the end. That's really the beginning. And so it's a two-step process. So I tell people, you know, think of your trust as, you know, a big airplane on the runway. You've built the airplane when you create that trust. It doesn't have anything in it yet. Your various, you know, things that you have, your home, your rental property, your stocks, bonds, cash, everything. It's luggage, pieces of luggage sitting on the runway until you take that proactive step to actually retitle those things or direct the beneficiary status, as the case may be, to the trust. Otherwise, they're not linked up yet. So this is funding process that has to happen. And it's an ongoing process that we look at and do, you know, with our clients, a beneficiary audit, you know, basically making sure everything's up to date over time, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. So it all works right.
When you're actually, you brought the 401k and I know IRA accounts, those pass by contract at death. So a question comes up a lot I hear is, do you list as a beneficiary for a 401k account, the trust or individual people? What is the difference there?
You know, it's a good topic to discuss. It's something that there's differences of opinion between what we do on the law side and what maybe, you know, the financial advisors will say to do on the other side. And so from our perspective, particularly with the way we build our trusts here, where generally when people come to us, they say, you know what, Brent, this is important that we create a trust that when we think of our kids, that those kids are protected. We're leaving money to them. You know, whatever we don't use and spend during our lifetime, it's going to them. So we want it to be with them for their lifetime. We want it to be with them. And then ultimately, if they don't use it, we want to go to our grandkids. We want it to stay in the family bloodline. So in other words, we're creating a legacy type of a trust typically. And inside that trust, the way that they're built, you know, normally there's asset protection benefits to the kids. So if they get sued, they don't automatically just lose an asset that you're leaving them. If they get divorced, you know, that money is separate property. It's in a separate property trust for the child. So all of those benefits go, as well as protecting children when they're young, you know, in terms of how to spend money on their own. they're built into a trust. So if when you name the trust as a beneficiary to that 401k, that IRA, you're gaining those benefits inside of that, which I think is critical. You got to weigh all that against maybe some potential tax benefits and things by just naming the individual child on as the beneficiary. But in our mind, it's almost always better to, especially the way our trusts are built with what we call conduit provisions, to put it in the trust to get that protection.
So that's a really huge deal, because I don't think a lot of people realize that. And, you know, 401ks are many times a person's biggest asset, right? Maybe next to the home or something, because they're socking away money for years. So that's critical because there's some, the way you talk about it, the trust has the game plan laid out. And if you're just giving it to your kids, you know, and they have issues, you know, it could go south.
Yeah. Just take one quick example here. And this comes up, you know, at least weekly here where we have that conversation. And the issue is, you know, just as you just discussed there, you'll have a client, they'll have a home, they'll have some money in the bank, and they'll have this huge retirement plan that they've built through, you know, through company work. And that's their retirement. And if they die, that's the biggest asset in a lot of cases that the kids are going to get. And so they think that they should just put the kids on as, you know, the beneficiary, you know, spouse first, and then the kids as a contingent beneficiary. And when they're doing that, they make the trust irrelevant at that point. So they spend all this time creating this trust to protect their kids, and the trust does great things. But when the beneficiary is the child, it doesn't pass through the trust at all. It goes directly to the child. They have full control at age 18 to do whatever they want to do. There's no asset protection with that. And that's the issue.
Brent, do you build asset protection provisions into the trust? Or how does that integrate?
So when we create a trust, you know, we have a conversation, and it starts off as, you know, when we decide who the beneficiary is going to be, and oftentimes it's going to be our kids. Do we want to leave the assets to them in an unprotected fashion or a protected fashion? And on the surface, most people say, well, protected. Well, what does that mean? Yeah. And so then we get into, you know, the ways that you can leave money to your heirs. You can leave money to them outright, which is very simple, where you just, you know, say, hey, if I die, my kids, you know, if there's four kids, they get a 0.25%, you know, they basically split it four ways and they're done, and they can go their own way. Or you can build it to where when you leave money to them, you leave it in trust so that they can use the money for their health, their education, their day-to-day maintenance, and their safety. And you may or may not put a gatekeeper in there or a trustee for the benefit of those kids, you know, for a period of time. Or you may choose to have the child be the trustee of their own trust, depending upon what you're trying to do there and how mature that kid is with money. So there's different ways to build it. And that's kind of where the art form is. A lot of law firms don't get into that conversation. They just don't. So people are in a hurry to avoid probate and get out of there. And we're basically a firm that you go to that says, let's slow this down. Let's create some family constitution documents and let's talk about it for a bit, because you're going to do this once. Let's do it right. And that's really a big point that I think everybody should be aware of.
So what happens with the process? Somebody comes to see you, they, you know, they need to update it or they need a brand new one. What is kind of the 2-3-step process you go through?
So we have just like everything else that we do, people come in, it's a free, you know, consultation. It's a complimentary consultation to discuss their estate planning goals. So if somebody is needing to build something new, we talk about what their family dynamics are, what they're looking to do. They need to make sure they understand what the issues are involved with probate versus non-probate and how we can fix things. When somebody has an existing document to review, we go through and we set up a retainer to review those documents. And depending upon what we're looking at, it may be a small fee to do that. It may be complimentary just to review with them and then make recommendations. But that's the start off point. And then if somebody says, you know what, there's, you know, you found a lot of, you know, cobwebs and problems in the closet and I'm concerned about these things, let's update them. Then we would send out a retainer to do, normally what we're going to be doing is an amendment restatement, or restating the trust, and we're bringing all the other documents up to date. But sometimes it's a simple amendment of one of the things in there that are bothering them that's not up to date. And so a variety of things we probably don't have time to get into today, but we find things like when we're looking at documents, you know, the wrong people are listed, somebody who's listed as a trustee who died, you know, years ago, or is not the right person anymore. So we fix those things. Many people have what are called AB split provisions in their trust back when they needed to have that for tax purposes. Today, they don't need it for tax purposes. They may still want it, but we need to talk about whether they want it or not. Do they want asset protection built into their trust? And then most importantly, those living documents, the powers of attorney, the healthcare directive, right. Are those detailed? Are those the roadmaps that you want to speak for you when you're vulnerable and you can't talk? So those are the things that we really spend time on and get them tip top.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Thanks everybody for listening and continue to follow us here on Wealth Protector TV. Brent, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Paul. Take care.